Tiny meeting of the Back Bay Amateur Astronomers meeting to order. All right. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out. I'm actually thrilled to see so many people because I got a cascade of text messages saying the various folks would not be able to make it out. So glad you were able to. I'm going to warn you now, George is prepared with sugar and caffeine for tonight's presentation because I'm going to be up here talking a lot, which means you'll probably be bored and need coffee. So thank you, George.
Mark, tea, and cocoa.
Also, just a plug that the refreshments committee runs out of off of George's goodwill and our donations. So please feel free to contribute so that he can keep us plied with tasty snacks and caffeinated beverages. Few other quick reminders before we get going is thank you everybody for all of your volunteer assistance and outreach, especially when you get called upon at the last minute to support an event. Gabe and Irene, thank you so much. I kind of knew that was going to happen, holding an event on the first of the month, and we walked right into it knowing it would happen anyway. But it sounds like you got free food and beer out of it, so you know.
Didn't have free beer. I got free food though. So
Yeah, I just wanted to.
no,
To me.
no, I just don't like beer.
I don't know what to do with that. All right. Well, yeah,
Just
went to an astronomy event at a brew pub and they offered to do it on the house and okay. I can't. All right. It's just like okay. Trying to stay on topic because we're 10 minutes late getting going. Also a reminder as you are doing outreach events, please RSVP for them so that we know and ideally so that we don't have a last minute flopex to make sure that we are have the appropriate coverage. And once you have gone to the event, please log your hours so that we can give you credit for them. You can use that account for that for your tax purposes for mileage driven to events as well as time spent if you and your tax attorney feel like that's appropriate, or you can just remember that you did it great and use it as a way to help prove that you did the various hours that you need for your Night Sky Network. Or rather, Astronomical League Observing Program.
Get that August credit for those invest in the week.
Yeah, we're actually, I think that right now we're number sixth in the nation for astronomy outreach events.
Wow.
So, about 200 members, and we are one of the stronger, more aggressive, which is great because when there's a kerfuffle and I don't follow the process in time to get us the outreach pins. They know us well enough that they are willing to work with us and get us a late order. So, also, which we'll talk more about that in a minute. That said, I'm going to, well, actually, Rich, did you say that you aren't going to be able to be on for long tonight? Rich Roberts, treasurer extraordinaire.
I'm just going to be working on stuff. I'm half paying attention.
Okay, well, your half of your attention is still plenty for me. But if that's the case, I'm going to go ahead and follow the order so that we don't get confused. So I'm going to turn the podium over to Jeff Goldstein, our illustrious vice president, for to discuss the upcoming calendar of events. And I will pull up. Yep. And let me
We
go
have
ahead
a
and
few.
I'm gonna
Get a
good
share right
Lord.
now. Don't get
I'm going to share. All right.
that. So you gotta share that. There were no talk about stuff.
No, we're actually using the yeah, so for anybody who came in while Jeff is getting settled here, we're experimenting with a paperless method for our door prizes, which is the genteel way of saying I thought that the little card carton of raffle tickets was in my bag and it
Next
wasn't.
time that water bottle.
Well, those aren't ours.
Oh.
That seems not cool. So what we're going to do is at the end of the meeting we'll do a random number generator based on the number for your sign in. So please make sure that you sign in, otherwise you are not going to win a
Anybody
door prize.
outside of the attendance sheet? Okay.
All right.
Great, thanks.
Okay, I did pass out at the meeting here a few of the copies that I made. I thought I made more, maybe I didn't. So The ones that I passed out, there'll be a one correction, maybe two. How many corrections? Chesapeake is?
We have three editions.
Three editions. Is it all Chesapeake Planetarium?
They are.
Okay. So I guess it's the 15th, the 23rd, and the 30th. Okay.
The Saturday events do also have a daytime 2 p.m. that I did not put on there.
Oh.
But the evening events are on there.
Okay. All right. So instead of boring you guys with all the details, we've got a lot of events in May. We had quite a few events in April, too. And George and I are doing most of the work. Not all the work. Not all the work. I can't go on Friday. It's a wife thing. That's our date night. So I'm sorry. I'm telling you the truth. So if we could get some more volunteers for certain things, you know, and we get ourselves locked into a few things like Joanne's birthday party. Which one is that? I forget.
Raylan's birthday is on the 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah. And they emailed me, this was 2 months ago, and it just now popped up on the calendar because they didn't know where it was going to be. So we need volunteers for that. I'm going to go, and, oh, you're going to go too? Who? Oh, good. George and I are going to go there. So anyway, so I know. That's this Saturday, so Skywatch is a maybe, but we should go out there anyway because the public shows up if it's pouring down rain, you know? Unbelievable. I know it. And so does Kent. Kent shows up when it's all cloudy and maybe one or two little stars you can see. Kent, he does that too. So those are the biggies. That's the biggie public thing, Skywatch at Northwest River Park, equestrian area. Has anybody not been that's here? Maybe we've got some new members. That's a fun one to go to. Please try to go to that at least. And the other fun was Boardwalk Astronomy at the end of the month. And that's going to be a fun one. Lots of funny things happen at the boardwalk. And mostly tourists. That's the funny part is the tourists. And a lot of them don't speak English very well. But it's really, really, that's a good time to go. And you think you don't know anything about astronomy. Well, they know a lot less than you do. A lot less. They were accusing me of putting Jupiter on the end of my telescope and say, that's not Jupiter. That's a picture, man. I swear to God.
We get that. We get asked whether the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
We checked.
And the flat earthers come by and skateboard. Flat Earth, flat Earth, you know.
I don't know if you think there's a food over here, but there's not.
Uh-oh. Okay, Bill.
Aside, how old are the kids? So whoever asked me that.
They're 20.
We get very excited. Yeah.
I'm serious.
An excited group of 15-year-olds. Which are great. We will also get some 30-year-olds that are.
You have Peyton Jupiter on the end.
No, it's usually their parents.
Yeah, but the people have never seen Jupiter, yeah. Venus, and stuff through a telescope. I'm serious, and a lot of and they're not and they drink a few drinks, and so when they come by, how does that thing stay out there? Well, that's Jupiter. It balls around the sun. You know, I swear to God, all this happened, and it's just the funniest thing. And
one time, the teacher accused us of putting a slide of Venus, of Saturn in a telescope.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get it's a luck of the draw on what you get at Boardwalk Astronomy, but it is always a hoot. And honestly, I kind of get a kick out of being able to drive onto the boardwalk to set up my telescope and have the evening out there. Last year, they had live music at the 24th Street stage. Every night we were out there, which was awesome. We get roller derby ladies come by. We get the stilt walkers coming out, which is always fun when the stilt walker bends down to look through the dog. It's a lot of fun.
That's a question, yes.
It's always, go up to objective and give them a digit.
No, I mean, it's when I say it's a hoot, I really do mean it's a lot.
It's really fun.
I've never had any bad experiences out there because there is security from the company that supports us for this. They're always out there. And also, they pay the club, which goes into our scholarship fund. I want to say we get $500 per event.
That's right.
Which funds our general scholarship. So those who come out support are supporting our mission and considering the size and intensity and budget of our club. We give out a lot of money in scholarships every year.
There's a lot of families and children.
Yeah.
So
right.
Be aware that children will want to
tell us. Yeah, and if they can't reach it, they just, I got it now. Swear, this is true. All this stuff is true.
If you're not comfortable bringing your telescope out, or you don't have one, but you want to get your feet wet in doing astronomy outreach, please come out. Those of us who are going to lug our scopes out there, I guarantee you, I would be thrilled to have somebody to help me drive, because every so often over the course of like the 3 or 4 or 5 hour event that we're there, I need to run to the head. And having an additional person to help trade off as my voice goes out, help me lock on to different things, is hugely helpful. I'm happy to tag out. You can drive my scope for a while, and I can help just do crowd control. So
I got one more thing to say about Boardwalk, and we still got a question.
You got a question?
Well, I couldn't read what's on the 30th.
Oh, what's on the 30th? It says Saturday, Sunday. That's it. That's at Elizabeth River Park and Chesapeake Planetarium at 7 p.m.
Yep.
So please do sign up for these events. Because if they get canceled, I try to get the cancellation out as soon as we can and let you know that way. Question?
Our party, did you put in did you log all the hours for everybody, or did you log
on? East Coast Star Party?
I haven't yet.
But we need to do that ourselves, or are you going to be one big log for
everybody? Well, the public part for sure.
If you can log, I mean, I will try and I'll compare notes on who I have. Yeah, but you know, the guaranteed way to make sure that you get credit for public nights to log in yourself.
That's
So it's the event is on there. There's a public night on there, so if you go in, you can RSVP and hours accordingly.
Yeah. And here's what we're talking about, the RSVP thing. So for Skywatch, I'll just give you an example. Click this tab that says RSVP. And let's see, how many people are signed up? We have one yes, and of course it's going to be at least 12 or 13 people. So people don't generally sign up for Skywatch, but they should, because it's a public event. So, and I'm guilty too. I didn't even sign up.
I didn't, but I'm going to do it this time.
But we go all the time. So the other thing about Boardwalk, is parking is strange. They will allow parking on the boardwalk. There used to be 6 cars. Now sometimes we can get 7 or 8, but
if there's get 5.
5?
Yeah, but we've never had the police ask.
If there's a lot of people, then they get a little antsy about us. I don't know why. The boardwalk is miles long, but anyway, get there early if you're going to go. Especially if you have a scope to bring, get there real early. The last few times I did boardwalk, I brought my projector that runs on 12 volts. It runs on 110, and I run the extension cord to their power, and we run the live view of the C-Star for the public too, and they can see it live as it comes out. And they don't believe that either. Okay.
Probably want to knock on to it.
Yeah.
I might want to soon show people how to get to it, because driving down the lane.
It's pretty not obvious how you get there.
And sometimes it's like a billion cars here because there's an event.
And it can be blocked off.
Well, here's the supposed to be the way to get there. Why does it say that, George, this is still not right. I clicked on the how to get there.
Yeah, what's your starting point?
I know, but did you see what it said?
24th Street Park.
24th Street Park.
No, that's right.
Oh, is that the right one?
Yeah.
Right. I can't
24th,
reach,
yeah.
Can't reach it. Okay, 24th Street Park. Click on this. And then you put your address here. There it is. That's my address.
So now
everybody knows. And then it gives you the route.
Don't stop by early. You won't answer. Trust me, I know.
And that's the way I go. Exactly the way I go. I go down.
Let's go in, because to his point, looking at go into street view mode, because the last turn is key.
That's
so. As you go to this location, can you drop the little dude on the.
Oh yeah, where is he?
Down here. Right.
He's right there, and we'll go right into. There's a little alley. Move it down. Crap. I got them and I can't use them. I know it. All right, here he is. Here he is. We'll put him right there. Okay. Now this is the last turn. Thank, isn't it? My one street off? That's 22nd Street.
Keep going.
Is it this one?
Yep. Again.
No, that's not it. I got it. No, it's that's only 22nd. I got to go.
You got to get another way. It goes up here.
That's right. No, it's the other way.
No, it's the other way.
Well, guys, don't, the other way. You guys don't know your way.
You turn around.
Okay.
Turn around.
Am I going?
That's fine. Well, when we get to 20th Street.
All right. This is the way to 24th. You got to turn at 24th. I thought it was 22nd. I think the address is wrong.
It's really not. Keep going. One more.
Of course. You're right there.
No, you have to turn into a Cisco truck.
No, that's not right. It's not right.
No, that's the street right there. Intersection.
That says 2100.
Bottom left.
I was going 20. You got to get to 24th Street, and it's the alley past 24th Street. Huh?
It's 24th.
Okay. So you're going to go as if you're going to 24th Street, the 24th Street part. You're going to be driving down.
There, there.
Take a right. You got to turn around. Put on your signal.
Right there. This is the alley right here.
Yeah.
You turn in this alley. I was going right the first time you guys talked me out of it. You turn. I'm going north, so you turn right east and go up this alley. But there's always cars parked blocking you from getting in. That's why you've got to get there early.
So you can park on the boardwalk. You can sometimes park behind there. If there's an event, they may have certain portions of this little parking lot locked off because of the band or whatever that's going to be there. At a minimum, you can unload and then go park in one of the other lots nearby, or you can park on the boardwalk itself. We will be given 5 passes. We're supposed to be. I have never been asked to show one.
There could be a barrier. Usually you just park there and you talk to whoever it is.
Yeah, sometimes
I've always just moved there.
Sometimes they'll close this gate a little bit.
I have found that about 50-50 when I get there, if there's a barrier.
24th is back here.
I get out of the car. I look like I know what I'm doing. I move the barrier through, and if anyone asks me what I'm doing, I'm here for the.
There can be barriers with the front end and with the back end.
Just don't move them with your car. That'll scratch your paint.
This is 24th.
Cool. I hope to see as many people out there as we can because it is a lot of fun. And
all right. Costs. Now let's get out of this.
Okay, me.
How do you get out of it?
I shouldn't bring it home.
No.
Just asking.
You won't need any self-defense out of it.
BYOG.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
Get out of that. Get out of this. Get out of this.
We got to go to this place. That's the last thing.
All right. And I don't know where we are.
Okay,
that's enough for me.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. All right. I am going to turn off my screen sharing. Maybe. There we go. All right. And I'm going to turn it over to Rich if he's paying attention.
Yeah.
Rich, we yearn to hear your treasurer's report.
We have a lot of money.
Hey! All right. How did do we know how our costs and expenses went for East Coast Star Party?
No, I've not done that yet. Okay. But one of the reasons we're up there is we've paid almost everything. I still have to send the check to Chipokes on the $180, but everything else has been paid and. Yeah, we have a lot of money. Our balance went up just over $1,000 in the last month. A lot of that is driven by we had 8 new members join last month, so it's been a busy month.
I'd say we have at least half of them in the room with us tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of new members. There's nothing really not a whole lot to talk about. Yeah, but the a lot of the income was just people paying for East Coast Star Party. Yeah, East Coast and new members. So we didn't have anything crazy. All the expenses were mainly buying food for East Coast Star Party. So
and a lot of it.
And we also did bring in a lot of money for Georgie June ticket sales hit this month too. So Georgie June is fully funded. Primary scholarships fully funded for the year. And we got a lot of money in the general fund. That's all I
got. How did we turn out as far as in total proceeds for the Georgie June? Or is that not something you had? What's that?
We brought in, let's see. Well, we paid some out, 160 plus 115 in March plus 515. So I made about $900 is what we made with the fundraiser.
Okay. Huh. All right. And
that's just this year. I think we had some in the following year, but I don't have my 2024 book or 2025 books open. So,
okay.
Anything we collected in 2025, I don't know off the top of my head, but
okay.
In 2026, we brought in about $900 into Georgia.
Okay. So at least broke even. Okay.
So start hard.
That's the question he says he doesn't have the answer to yet. So we'll.
Yeah,
we'll,
I haven't done the books for that. Usually I do, but I'm doing the work for. I'm doing four people's jobs at the moment.
No, we understand.
I'm trying to work during this. Okay. And I've not had a weekend to myself in months.
I'm sorry. We missed you at the Star Party.
I miss being there. I was working, I was not happy.
Anyone have any questions for our treasurer? If not, then I will accept a motion to accept the treasurer's report. Is that a thing we need to do? Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? All right. Thank you, Rich. We'll come back to the question of East Coast Star Party because we want to make sure that we are as close to revenue neutral on that as we can be. But
Believe that we are. I just haven't ran the numbers.
Okay. Kent wasn't there, though, for most of it, and our hot dog expenses will be going up. All right. Moving on, next item of business, we have the treasurer's report. The secretary's report. Gabe, I sent out a copy of your draft minutes. I didn't see any issues. You want to hit the highlights and then?
Move to waive.
Oh, we have a motion to waive the reading of the minutes. And that was a second. Any discussion? All in favor of waiving the minutes and
aye.
Opposed. All right. We have one abstention by voice. All right. Well, thanks for your good work, Gabe. It at least helped me put together the agenda for the meeting. I don't think we have Ben out there in Zoom land for the scholarship committee or the RRRT, but I do think that we have the scholarship committee is going to be meeting here soon to review our huge number of applications.
One application,
yeah.
He's waiting for some more to come in. And when he lets us know, those of us on the scholarship committee will go and evaluate.
If it's only one and they meet the criteria, then that kid's going to be getting a significant scholarship. All right. Okay, we have our Alcor is not here to discuss either the Astronomical League or the East Coast Star Party. So I will quickly summarize that the Astronomical League is amazing. We have been harping on it for the last several meetings. I'm going to be talking about some things that actually pertain tonight to some of the Astronomical League programs. If you don't know what I'm talking about regarding the Astronomical League, it's basically merit badges for astronomers, ways we can go out, seek out new and exciting different ways to look at the sky and learn more about it, find difficult objects. In fact, they launched a new, more difficult one that requires for the higher level, like you have to find all of the 4,000 some objects that the astronomer that it's named for, whose name I want to say Swift, found in his lifetime. Not Swift?
I think it is Swift.
Okay, yeah. It's like you can get the pin for finding 100 of them, or you can get the complete certificate for getting like the 4,200 that he found over his lifetime. It's pretty impressive. So I would say that's firmly in at least the moderate difficulty category. So that one's there. Also, as far as the East Coast Star Party, I want to thank everybody who came out and made it a success, even if Gabe and Rich didn't join us for it. At least Rich was working.
So was I.
Uh-huh, sure. Excuses. Had a great time. We had two good evenings of observing. We had Marcos established what might be a new tradition of having his meteorite tent, which was really cool to see, even if I'm afraid I killed one of his microscopes. Just by being nearby it. So that the event was a lot of fun. We had a lot of public participation. I want to say we had 70 people out there from the public.
Well, we also gave a good field trip to the
geology. Yes, two different field trips. So yeah, we had the geology, his river walk geology trip. So fantastic.
That one.
And we discovered that there's actually a real kitchen there that we can use for future things. So who knows how off the chain our food is, situation is going to get in the future. That said, for the Fall East Coast Star Party, that is going to be the first Thursday of the month because that's how the moons work. So mark your calendar. The November club meeting is going to be on location in the field at Chipokes State Park.
September?
I thought it was November. September. Sure. So that's where we'll be. I encourage people to come out for the Star Party because it's a lot of fun. But that's where the meeting will be regardless. We'll also have Zoom, assuming the connectivity holds out. Any questions?
Sure, it is November.
Is
November? Yes, November.
Okay.
Hi.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, because I think George asked me, hey, do you realize that you scheduled the club meeting at the same weekend? There we go. East Coast Star Party is November 6th is our...
we'll be there in September.
5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah.
Nobody else.
All right. Okay. I'm going to move on to observing reports. Oh.
Solar filter workshop.
We did a solar filter workshop. Yep. We're going to try and do workshops now that we have access to their conference center and conference shelter. It's a great spot for doing workshops. We can do workshops as basically on request. For right now, we have the equipment to do white light solar filters, as well as make your own resistor bank dew heaters. So basically, if you're interested in either of those, let me know and we will get something scheduled that is convenient or inconvenient for you. All right. Observing reports. Anyone have any observing reports? I don't have the super Ramadine camera that I can turn, so I'm going to pick up the webcam and point it.
Last month, I had a fantastic time showing some people the having them guide the telescope themselves to see the Markarian's chain. I had one gentleman drop an F-bomb. He had such a good time. it was a great joy to have people see it for the first time, since I can never do it for the first time again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the great things about outreach. For those of you who haven't joined us for outreach events, we can only view things like the Markarian chain, Saturn, Jupiter, and the Galilean moons for the first time ourselves once, but we can steal a little bit of that by watching somebody else's face light up with that for the first time. And that there's a lot of people who live around here, so an awful lot of people we can catch the first time of Saturn or Jupiter or some such.
Some people, when they see the moon for the first time close up in a telescope, they just knocks your socks off.
Right. And it's always up there, and it's not appreciably bigger or brighter, but it really does wow them. Gabe, did you want to share something you saw on Canvas?
Yes, I did. It's also from Star Watch. Mine is, this is the second time this year that I got a sight of Hercules cluster, one of my all-time favorite deep sky objects. And a little thing about me is that everyone talks about the propeller in the cluster center, which is a big X stars right in the center. I have always had the most difficult time seeing it from here. I was able to see it from Sand River in March when I went to that star party, but at the Skywatch in April, I was finally near the end of the evening, I was finally able to see the propeller from Northwest Denver Park. And plus it's the Hercules cluster. It's always a welcome sight. That's another one I would argue is like seeing like Saturn or Orion Nebula for the first time. It just blows people away, especially if a big telescope.
Awesome. Any other observing reports?
I invited Barry over the other day to watch the launch of the Amazon Leo 6 rocket from the Cape. Pretty good eastern horizon, southeastern horizon. And at about T plus 5 minutes or so, I was telling Barry, now we're going to see a bright, like a star-like thing with a comet tail behind it. And Barry will tell you what we actually saw.
Yeah, we saw two dots. You know, two very distinct dots, and really couldn't see a tail. But surprisingly, both dots, you know, maintained about the same velocity and separation all the way across the horizon.
That was my observation as well. It was weird. I'd never seen it.
Well,
rocket-wise, like
that. Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, I'm used to like the bottom stage after 2 minutes, you get main engine cut off. But I think with this vehicle, the Atlas V, I think it burned to like 4 minutes plus. And so it had more velocity and it was like trailing. So you have the second stage firing and the first stage trailing it with sunlight on it because it was like 852.
Yeah.
And so you could kind of see it. And that's what, who's his name, Claude? Some AI guy?
Oh, yeah.
Claude said that's what it was. Well, I never met Claw, but he sounds like he's pretty smart.
And with the larger...
It was so cool. It was so wild seeing two dots. Here it comes. Oh, it can't be it. It's got to be it. There's two.
And it actually makes sense with a longer primary main engine burn, first stage, it would be up higher, have less drag, so that it wouldn't separate as rapidly.
I've just never seen that before. Yeah. It was way cool.
And we had the full moon to... hamper things.
Yeah, well, it was bright. It was bright.
It was very little, easy to see.
Bright.
Yeah, it was. It was so bright as the moon was. Yeah,
sure.
So it's kind of astronomy.
Yeah. I'm space stuff. Space stuff, anyway.
Earth astronomy.
I'll also add, as an observing report, we had Will and I went out to Russell Memorial Library for the Science and Science Fiction this past month. It had a I think a pretty fun talk. And then we had a relatively small group, I think 8 people, and Will brought 2 telescopes and I brought my Astroscan. So we had 2.5 telescopes out there, maybe 2 1/3 with 2 astronomers driving them. But the folks we had there were really thrilled, especially when they were able to see the difference between looking at the Galilean moons through each of the different types of telescopes. I wouldn't say that Western Branch is the best location for us to do outreach events at because there's a lot of light pollution and a lot of trees. And that's, so I'd say it's slightly better than doing an event in Ghent, but we do those anyway. So, you know.
Well, that hurts, Barry. That hurts. Oh, yeah. We're Western Branchers.
Sorry. I'm not speaking ill of Western Branch. I'm just saying that you guys have a lot of that.
One of the space guy, the alternate space guy, supposed to go up for Artemis 2, went to Western Branch High School.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
So I'm trying to arrange with Jeff Edmondson that we interview him and maybe we go out there. You know, the Rocket Club wants to do it too. They want to launch rockets. So we go out there and be the astronomy guy too.
Yeah. Maybe he can come and talk to us.
Yeah. So yeah. I'll try to set that up. I haven't got a hold of it.
Really cool. Okay. Yeah, he said he was unable to make it, but as a point, especially since we'd already talked about the Georgia June, Jeff Edmondson did pick up his raffle prize winning, and he has been putting it to good use. Irene, have you had a chance to make use of your eyepiece?
Yeah, well, yes.
I think I misspoke. He was the alternate for the Artemis 2. And the alternates always get to be the astronaut, either for the 3 or 4. So he's probably going to either go to the moon or actually go to the moon and land on it. Or he'll be circling the moon or something like that.
Yeah, that's what NASA used to do. If you're on the backup crew,
yeah, the backup crew
you skip two, and then the third you go.
Yeah.
And so just a little vignette here. Apollo 8, Frank Borman.
Is that right?
9, 10, 11. Neil Armstrong is Frank Borman's backup.
Yeah.
But Frank Borman was not the original Apollo 8. Jim McDivitt was Apollo 8.
Yeah.
And they told Jim McDivitt, now, Jim, your lunar module is not ready yet. So we've got another plan for your flight around the moon. Be historic. But if you want, because I know you've trained for the lunar module, you can swap with Borman. And he said, I'll swap with Borman. I want to fly the lunar module. And Pete Conrad was really pissed because he was kind of, he thought, I'm going to be the first man in the moon. And he was a cool guy, but he got over it. But yeah, that was kind of cool.
Swap. What can you do? I mean, you're a rock star, space rock star. Any other observing reports?
I'm aligning the telescope, and I found a very good way to do it. I found out that the only thing you really need to do with astronomical system is to get your north, south, east, west, right on the dot. And what that involves is just a fairly simple method that I've come up with. It takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes of the field. So I did it twice a couple of days ago, tested out. And my first attempt, I got the 39 second right ascension offset. Which ain't bad. That's pretty good. So I cranked it out, tested it again. Second attempt was 3/10 of a second long. You just say I did not do anything after that. And I was so happy at one pass that beer. But at any rate, the other mechanical things that you have to do, of course, is if you have cone error and refraction. Refraction is built into the what you're looking at when you are looking at a guide star. What I have to do is record the slope of that line. And then I've automatically built into my system a way to back out the contribution of the refraction. And that's what I did when I got 39 arc seconds and then 3/10 arc second. So I just thought I'd pass it along. I'm going to make that available to other people if they are interested. Cool. Yeah. I do observing through astrophotography. So it makes no difference if you do that for eyeball. It is a waste of time. But you can get close. I mean,
so for all telescopes or just
equatorials? Yeah, not some German equatorials one I'm talking about, but it would apply to other styles as well. But you wouldn't have to worry about cone error. It's not there.
You gave a talk a couple of years ago on the drift method. Is that same?
It's same, only different. This is way better.
Good. More accurate. Maybe we can get you again.
Okay.
That was my first club meeting. It was a great talk.
Thank you.
Oh boy. All right. Love this webcam instead of our podium. All right. Okay. Thank you all for observing reports. As far as old business goes, some items that we discussed previously. I have asked a couple times for interest in club apparel, and people have asked me about club apparel. And then when I ask about club apparel, the number of requests versus inquiries is very disparate. But at various points around the room, I have placed one of these handouts. So if in addition to the items that we have on the club website, and if you check your emails or on the group's IO, you would have gotten a copy of this. We have hats and shirts and a few other things for sale on the club website. There's a few other items based on interest that we've had in the past, basically jackets, mesh jackets for summer weight, hats, etc. If there's an interest, please let me know, and we'll be placing an order soon.
Also, I still have a box of t-shirts at home. I don't bring them anymore because but I still have a number of light blue t-shirts and a couple of gray t-shirts of different sizes. If you are interested in a t-shirt, let me know and tell me your size, and I'll bring one next time.
All right. Last meeting, we also gave out the 2025 Night Sky Network Outreach Award pins to those who were here. We may have some folks who were not here last time, and that will require me to do some math and accounting. But if you think that I'll put out the list here in a little while, probably after the meeting is officially over, and I have the pins so we can recognize you. But they're pretty cool pins, and at the rate that they are increasing in size, I suspect they will eventually be used by the World Wrestling Federation as a belt buckle, because they are enormous. Soon they'll, at a minimum, you can use them to balance a coffee cup. Also, we have some old business. We're looking at the club website renewal. Sean, are you? Yeah, you're still online. Did you want to say anything about that for the group, or are we still just working through the paperwork?
Just working through the paperwork. I mean, you saw that email about getting a letter from the IRS. I mean, do it for free. That's the ideal path.
Yes. Yep. So we'll work through that. We'll get with the people who might already have a copy, and if not, I'll work that paperwork thing next week after I get out of Oz. Okay. For new business. Just as this is kind of an announcement type thing, but we are, last year we had a small batch of club t-shirts made with specifically for the Pride in the Peak event. We recognize that printing costs versus just doing it ourselves are relatively high, and it would be pretty cool to have a lot of options and alternatives. So we're putting together the plan to do a tie-dye party, and then we will print the club logo onto the tie-dyed shirts. Right now I am tentatively looking at next Saturday during the daytime. We can set up in my front yard, do tie-dye, and because I think that's clear on the calendar, I'd say, having now not. Let's take a look. So yep, we're actually, oh no, this is November. We're very clear next weekend in November, which is not a phrase that has meaning. Okay, so next weekend we have Night Watch and the Troop 4246 program, which I believe is in Yorktown?
Williamsburg,
okay. But that's in the evening, late evening. So I think we're kind of cleared weird to, if anyone is interested, I'll put out some info on the on Groups.io or maybe on the club calendar to specify, but we'll do a kind of a potluck picnic type thing. I'll fire up the grill. I'll fire up the hot dog machine because it's a club event. And we'll make t-shirts and we can pull out our solar telescopes and look at cool things. Hopefully it'll be clear and hopefully it will be some interesting prominences and such. If you have questions, please feel free to catch me afterwards. We'll go over the details on them. If you don't have questions, then I guess we can still chat.
Bring your own shirt. How's that work?
It'll be bring your own shirt. If there's, we could potentially buy shirts as a group, because we found the Gildan t-shirts, like the ones that we had the East Coast Star Party, were pretty solid construction, heavyweight cotton. They held up well, they printed well, but you could bring your own shirt. We could do that too. So we'll, Sean, have we done any math as far as what that workshop will cost?
Well, the shirts are going to be about, at the most, $4 a piece if we go through the company. So you're probably going to be hard-pressed to find a better deal for a quality shirt than them.
Yeah.
But if we don't want to chip in and do that, that's probably the lowest cost method. And that way everyone gets a quality shirt.
Okay. So we will plan to not do BYOS. So we won't have to bring
your... Just know how many. Yeah.
So we'll get that. So the $4 for the shirt, and then however much as far as ink, we're probably talking about $5 for the workshop to get a shirt with the printings. Does that sound like it bears out, Sean, or do we need
That sounds reasonable.
Okay. So I know big money, but you know, some assembly required, because you'll get to do your own tie dye. That does not cover, you know, please bring some snacks and such for the potluck, but otherwise. Okay, cool. Any questions on that? That's, I guess, more of an announcement, because we're not at. Yeah. All right. Jeff, you had something on telescope donation.
Yes. Telescope donation. This was given out a couple of years ago.
I'm not going to pick up the
This is camera. The bottom half of the Dobsonian. And it doesn't look very big, but the Dobsonian telescope itself is about this long. Down in the car, I didn't want to bring it up.
He's holding his arms about this.
It's about this big. No, seriously, it's a double arm length big. It's that big, and it's a sonotube and a homemade. It's basically a homemade Dobsonian. I don't know if the mirror's homemade, but
this was given out to a club member. She went to college and she got a different telescope, and so she wanted to donate back. Somebody else needed this, and this is today's giveaway. If it's not the door prize, but this is, you're eligible if you want it. That's just the bottom half. I got the top half of the carpet.
Like a 4-inch or something.
It's not. I think it's about 3 or 4 inches. It's about this big, maybe 4 or 5 inches diameter. Something like that.
He's holding his hands about this far apart.
Yeah.
Like F1.
Yeah, probably. Well, it's, I don't know. Yes, it is. Probably F20. It's a long one. It's a long F10 at least. I got another thing, order of business.
Okay.
For new business. I'm sure you've all seen these. This is on Night Sky Network. This is the Night Sky for May. And it's front and back.
It's not Night Sky Network, but skymaps.com.
Well, it's on Night Sky Network that you can And every month they have it available. So I thought we would like to do this for all our outreach. That way, and they get front and back, that it's just one piece of paper. But I'd have to go to Kinko's or someplace to get a copy. And it would be a cost. Now, I'm allowed to do that as a club officer to spend up to $100. But this is going to be like every month. So I thought we'd go like 50 copies for this month, 50 copies for next month. And probably run out of copies. I only get 2 pennies anyway. But we used to do this all the time here. In the club, I don't know if you remember, but Bert used to bring these things all the time. Remember that? He has a whole bunch. He used to do this all the time. It was great because you got to take home something from the event. And so I think we should make that available. Take something home for the event besides looking through the telescope and learning all about what happened. It's got detailed information all about the stars and which ones are ocular objects. It's really, really a good little publication. And it's funny. All we have to do is provide the bucks. So I'd like to make a motion that we do that for all our outreach, and we'll pass these out. And if you want to print your own, you can do that too. But
I give those out for Garden Stars and Kinsale.
Okay. Now that's probably at your expense.
Yeah.
So I thought.
Well, oh, I thought. We do is I thought the club reimbursed you for the printing.
No, I do it on my printer at home.
Okay.
So I did this too. I got a color printer, but I didn't know if we don't need to have a color printer just to get that blue. But however, I'd like to make a motion to do this for outreach events.
We got a question from the
question.
Sean?
Sorry, I forgot to mute my mic. The dog was messing with me.
Fair enough. Okay, so I guess we don't have a question from the outstations.
Okay.
That's any discussion? Is there...
Can we put our logo or contact info on that?
Yeah, I can do that. It's easy.
I mean, look, I definitely like the idea. I mean, and plus, like, he's right that, like, even people at outreach, they have something tangible now that they can bring home and they can use. And like, it does help that interactivity, like, the additional bit of interaction, that's something that's been like being thrust on the when I'm working at the planetarium, that when people remember things better and they can physically touch something and interact with it rather than just being told something. So I think this is a really good idea that we can use to help make outreach and not just keep people coming back so we can collect the snow when it becomes like a sort of souvenir. And it will be different every single month too, which is the other benefit. It'll change in June and July and so on. So it'll be different throughout the year.
Yeah, the question of us putting our logo, maybe our QR code and website on there is an interesting one, considering this is something that we're not producing. They already have their logos on there.
It's pretty jam-packed, too.
There's not a whole lot of space for it. We could potentially put something around the edges, printed and provided on by the Back Bay Amateur Astronomers with our QR code. Sam?
I personally, I'd say that an offering to do to give out be printed on a separate paper?
Well, we already have it on our business cards and contact cards that we give out.
So,
I mean, I don't want to suggest that we paperclip them to the thing, because that, who wants to do that? It sounds awful. And then the stack would be lopsided, but.
I would make a suggestion that like the last week of May, have it printed out for June.
You can't. You can't print those on scrammaps.com until the first day of the month. I tried.
Because, you know, our Boardwalk Astronomy is on last week.
Okay, if you do it on the 31st of May, we'll still get the month of May.
I was looking ahead. The 2026 June is on there. Pretty sure.
Was it?
So check it out. So, I thought it was available.
I see May and I see April.
Oh, okay. Guess you're wrong.
I think just gives you the one that's early on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we are early in May, so maybe they, but it sounds like I'm going to take George as he is our solar system ambassador.
But it does have like the website on there so you could direct users to say for an update in that next month.
Absolutely.
How about this?
Yeah, certainly. No, that's a great point. I mean, I think there's some value in providing that. I think we've given these out at past events sometimes when we or someone else have printed them out and dropped them off. Sometimes they're a big hit. Sometimes we print out a stack and they go untouched and it seems to be completely arbitrary as to which direction we're going to go.
Jeremy, if we think forward, we could also mark on your items that you should be able to see and hand to our members.
Yes.
How many times have you been at an outreach program? You're like, I'm around the show. You got to try and figure it on the fly.
And also, sometimes you find yourself the number of times that Richard and I have ended up pointing at the.
Oh,
there you are. Yeah, Richard and I have ended up pointing at the same thing. Like, you're on. You're on the Great Nebula, all right? Fine, I'll go look at Saturn. Then I hear him talking about Saturn. It's like, dang it! I called it! So yeah, we could also use this to drive who's got dibs on what object so that we're showing different things.
Well, I don't know about that. But, you know, from one month to another, it's just like a tweet. I mean, June wouldn't look a lot different from May. So I know what you're saying, like the start in the boardwalk is at the very end, but you just say, you just tweak it a little bit. Yeah. You know, June won't be too much different. It sounds like a great idea.
I would offer, and I'm not making this a motion because I think by Robert's Rules of Order, I can't, but I would suggest that to Jeff's point, the amount for printing costs are relatively low and within what the amounts that an officer is authorized to use on a discretionary basis for club activities. I would think it would be reasonable to see how this goes for a month, see how much it costs versus how much people use them. Then we can revisit this at the next meeting and see whether it's something. Does that seem reasonable?
Same thing with the door price on that.
That's the other motion.
Yeah, that one. Are we comfortable leaving the star chart printout thing at that level, and we'll revisit and see where we are next month?
Bring some copies to Boardwalk.
Yeah.
All the places that I
by all means, yeah.
Try we'll see how well received it is. I'm sure it'll be well received.
Try to keep track of how many you printed versus how many were given out.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a small enough amount that I'll make a motion that we accept the idea and let Jeff print out these charts. Find out in the future that ain't nobody's doing computers.
Well, I think we can do that without a motion because we're not necessarily putting up.
Is that per month?
Hopefully.
Well,
$100 per month.
I think it's per item. I don't know.
I don't think that's clearly specified. It's per purchase. We didn't set that up in a way that supports us to deliberately drain the treasury with small recurring purchases. But I don't think that's the point. But if you wanted to make a motion for him to spend up to $100 to do that for this month, then we're clean, and then we can find out how much it cost. It's been so moved.
Seconded.
Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? All right. There you go.
I'll make sure my name is on there at least.
Okay.
And it says right there, copyright, by the way, all sales,
You wanted to, did you want to talk about door prizes as well?
Yeah, free of non-commercial It's free for non-commercial education.
That's us. We're a we're 501c3 nonprofit educational scientific organization.
I'd like to make a motion on the door prize. Right now, we've been getting donations and things like that, and I just bring the donation in, and that's the door prize. And explain how we got this
donation. So this particular prize, tonight's door prize, is a Salastron power tank lithium, or a lithium LT power tank, donated by Will Kiff, who received this as his raffle prize at the East Coast Star Party. He realized that this is, he feels there are others that could benefit from it more, and he passed it along to be given out as a door prize. So first of all, thank you, Will, for offering your splendid prize to be reprised. That actually worked better than I was. That's great. Okay, I'm gonna be strutting around proud for the rest of the night for that one. But that said, most of the prizes that we have given out over the last several years, to my knowledge, have either been one of us find something that we want to donate to the club, or someone does that, or we have a random spare prize that came from East Coast Star Party that we forgot to give out, or some such. Basically, it's very happenstance. Sometimes they're really cool prizes. Sometimes they're kind of lame ones. Yes.
I have an amendment to this idea. If that continues, then we could have the door prize money compound to the so that twice as much could be spent on another month or something like that.
Well, we don't charge, but
we don't have any door prize. So if I'm sorry, I thought that we were considering funding it from the
drone. No, it's coming out.
That is so right now, it's coming out high. With rare exceptions, it's they're donated either by someone within the group, someone outside the group. I'm sorry. What's that?
I was anticipating something.
That's fair. Yeah, you're jumping ahead to what Jeff was going
to
talk
about. Anyway, I'd like to move, we could amend this slightly, that we spend at least $50 a month to try to bring more club members into the door prize. That's just one reason.
So the motion that Jeff has just put forward is that we establish a budget for door prizes of $50. Normally it's Jeff who's like, let's amp up the money. $50 a month. I would and to the point that I think Richard was about to make, we could make that kind of a floating average so that sometimes it'd be a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. But
and if somebody were to donate something that takes up the slot that month,
yes,
it would go on to accumulate.
Yes. Like sometimes Jeff or I get given things that we can give out. Like that's
here's a good example. I don't remember how much this was. I think
I want to say those are $25
on Amazon. It is autographed by Peter Behring himself.
The book that Jeff is holding up to the room is Peter Behring's book, Objects in the Heavens, which George consulted on.
So this is a real good book, Objects in the Heavens.
You can't get this on Amazon. You get it from BehringDesign.com.
That's right. Mm,
good.
It's great, too.
Did Rich do an analysis to make sure that our funding is going to be stable versus wrong with that vote?
That was my suggestion.
I think we've got an all-time high now.
Well, it has... I get we're at a high, but if we institute something that's...
another new drain.
Right. Somebody needs to look to make sure that that's sustainable based on history, right? And it might be. It sounds like it should be, but it's $600 a year, based on what you're saying. Another $100 for paper. Rich West kind of make sure.
It sounds like it sounds like you're proposing we table the motion pending research with the treasurer.
Sure.
Yes, probably
not. I agree with that. If that was a move, then I would say.
And that sounded like a second.
Yep. So
okay. All right. Motion has been made and seconded to table the discussion of establishing a fund for door prizes pending investigation with the treasurer. All in favor? Opposed? Okay. So motion is tabled. Jeff, I'd like you to work with Rich to find out what our income stream looks like.
I do appreciate a lot of our prizes are donated.
Right.
Blood money just to say.
Yeah. So that would be something that would be the option. We could either not expend it from the treasury, or we could get a cooler door prize. Right now, we do fund the door prizes for the East Coast Star Party, which presumably comes back to the treasury. Again, we haven't seen this one. Historically, we've always come out just slightly in the black. East Coast Star Party and the summer picnic, the door prizes have come out of the treasury. Otherwise, they are all donated. Okay. That is all the items I have that I'm aware of for new business. Is there any other new business? Wow, I'm gonna have to talk too fast.
Picnic is scheduled. Okay.
Picnic is scheduled for, and I'm still screen sharing, so that works out well. That was actually gonna be something I was gonna talk about in the wrap-up. But since you bring it up now, our summer picnic is July 18th. We had to deconflict it based on when other events were and the availability of the shelter, but we're going to be at the Elizabeth River Park. We have the same, if you were at last year's picnic, we're going to be in the same shelter because that one isn't in a place that turns into a bog when it rains. And I would rather not be grilling while getting rained on standing in hip deep water. I'm selfish like that.
So it's the 18th now?
Yes.
Same like Skywatch.
Yes. So we have, I think that happened last time too. I think we have a summer picnic in the morning into the afternoon, and then we go and I guess wash the sunscreen off and put on bug spray and go to the Skywatch. Okay. All right. Any other new business? Yes. I may not even be able to get to the main topic for tonight, but yes, please. All right.
The East Coast Stomp Party.
Do you want to come up here so that you hear you out in the audience? Okay. All right. So as while Irene is unpacking that, I'll go ahead and say that we had our first meeting of the Library Telescope Committee, headed by Sandy Paxson at the East Coast Star Party. And one of the things that we're trying to do to get ready for the kickoff is do our research and investigation. We also got our first donor. The first library telescope was identified and purchased by Irene. So thank you. She brought that first library telescope tonight for us to take a look at. Do you want to go ahead and share with the class?
Yes. I've been living in Rheinstaubless, which is what's been in the libraries around here. Everything's pretty much attached. The eyepiece. I attached it with a challenge, so that can be taken on the right side, as well as it has two eyepieces. So I talked to a library today, and they get damaged. The Ryan Starblast gets damaged, and then nobody fixes it, and then they just get put aside, and, you know, there's no follow-up. So some of the things that we talked about at the East Coast Stock Party was... follow-up. So if we put a telescope in a library, that somebody is kind of responsible, or they can like contact you if they have a problem with the telescope. We're trying to, Sandy's the one that's spearheading this, trying to put a telescope in all the libraries in Hampton Roads. She's pursuing getting donors, you know, businesses and things like that to donate a telescope to a library. So she, you know, and coming here today, looking at this, I could see getting a bag.
Yeah.
To carry.
Poor box.
It's just taking it out in the rain, just mm-hmm. like today. And so that might add a little bit of protection. And something else, I don't know if that would be part of it, is like an insurance. You know, when I was talking to the library people today, you know how, you know, if you purchase a telescope, there's, you know, X amount of dollars for, you know, that insurance for 1 year, 2 years, and so on. So I just brought this so people can look at it. This institute did move earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
Who paid for this one? This one was paid for by Irene.
Yep.
She donated. She donated that. She purchased the first one.
A Red Dot binder as well. And, you know, maybe batteries, you know, specific batteries for the Red Dot binder, just a watch battery in there.
So we do have the intention, because of people availability, Sandy was not able to be here tonight to talk about the library telescope kickoff, but we do anticipate having a meeting where that is the main topic. We're going to talk about this telescope, which is the successor to the Orion Star Blast. It was made to fill a niche. I think it's an Apertura, I believe. Yeah. So it's an Apertura telescope that was built to basically be similar to, and also out of the box, ready for library telescope use, with those features like the screwed in eyepieces and lanyarded on caps and covers, so that it is less likely to get damaged or pieces go astray. We're going to talk about what that campaign looks like, but as Irene pointed out, the goal that I laid before the library telescope committee is I would like to see us work towards getting one or more library telescopes of that quality. Because some libraries have the Star Blast, others have a 12-inch plastic Burke Jones refractor that really its highest purpose should be filling a trash can. The sort that when I'm in the thrift store, I see, I pick up, I buy, and I throw away as a service to the public. We don't want those sort of hobby killer telescopes out there, but talking to the librarians who use the library telescopes or who give them out, they get, as long as they're in good functional order, they get a lot of use. One thing that we haven't been doing to a lot of extent, I know George was working on this, and none of the librarians that have the good quality telescopes have said much of anything to us, but, you know, trying to establish that drumbeat where we help train and help do maintenance on to keep them in good working order. That's something that is the additional add-on portion for the committee to look at, because, you know, we want to not just place them and forget them. We want to make sure that these are things that we're committed to, because our mission of spreading the joy of astronomy to the people of Hampton Roads is definitely augmented by having telescopes out there for people to start getting their feet wet.
At one point, we gave Newport News Library a library telescope similar.
Yes.
Similar to this.
See Orion Star Blast.
Astronomical League that donated it to us. I think they're going to do that every year.
Yes.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Okay. There's the announcement for that is up on the website.
So that's where we got that. I don't think it was last year, maybe a year and a half ago, something like that.
So we've given out three. One, I think, one to Portsmouth, one to Virginia Beach, and one to Newport News. But there's a lot of libraries that are out here, and some of them have requested two or three. And if that's something we can do, I would like to see however many of those libraries feel like they need within reason. I mean, it's not coming out of our treasury. We're going to pursue getting funding and donations. There's a lot of big companies around here. And fortunately, Sandy knows the ins and outs of getting companies to do that. For a lot of these companies around here, like she mentioned, Steel and a few others, it's decimal dust and a lot of goodwill. So we're going to put a plate on there, show who the donor is, so they get the public goodwill. Everybody wins, especially the public. So, George.
Last year, I went to Central Library to check out their telescope. And they said they had two of them. Well, I know we gave them one. I don't know where they got the second one. But I asked them, well, call me when they were all checked out. They're always checked out. I said, well, call me when it comes back in, and I'll come and look at it, make sure it's working right. I never got a call back. So maybe I should just get on the list and request one.
Well, one of the things that was talked about at the Library Telescope Committee meeting was identifying a group of people who want to help with doing the training and doing the maintenance. That could be the same people or could be different ones. And part of that would be, as we probably need to have some sort of MOU with the libraries that they agree that, you know, at a date to be decided, once a quarter, twice a year, what have you, our library telescope technician comes by and does maintenance on it. Check to make sure the mirror is still in good shape. If it needs a collimation, we do a collimation. Replace the batteries. Maybe we just also include if it. I think that ended up costing you $450-ish plus tax.
bit less.
Okay.
I think $369 and
oh,
like
wow.
$22 for all tax.
Okay.
So it ended up being under
$400. So under $400, but we would ask for the donation would also cover whatever sort of, whether it's a carry bag or whether it's a box or something with a handle, as well as the requirements to get the printing for the QR code or plate or what have you that has the instructions. We already have our website that will hang those website instructions on, but the printing, the maintaining, some spare batteries that we can drop off and show the librarians how to use those little, was it 2045 coin batteries, I think? 2035s?
Yeah,
most likely, because that's a pretty standard red dot. So that's that would be something that we would try and get funded through. So we're really just the vehicle to make it happen. The people who are willing to do the last mile work to get them placed, make them maintained, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Any questions? Okay.
Speak to Sandy about possibly being on the list.
I will let her know.
I mean, wouldn't she be the one to talk to?
Yes, Sandy is the chair of the Library Telescope Committee. Yep. So if you're interested, the Library Telescope Committee right now consists of Sandy, myself, Patrick, and Irene, who basically got dragooned into it by virtue of sitting down at the time we were having the meeting and then contributed. But if you're interested in being part of the committee, please let Sandy know. If you don't run into Sandy and you want me to make sure that she gets in contact with you, let me know. After the meeting, I'll write your name down and we'll make that happen. But I think this is a really exciting thing, and I'm looking forward to the kickoff meeting because Sandy's got a lot of great ideas. We had a really productive meeting, and I think this is going to be a great thing for the region. All right. And once again, Irene, thank you for being willing to just jump in feet first, not even planning on being at the meeting. And you jumped in as our first contributor. So that's awesome. Hey, folks, I'm looking and I'm seeing that it's already 8:51. And while I talk a lot, I don't talk fast, even when I'm giving a presentation. This went a little longer on other topics, but it was a
solar funnel.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna table my topic for tonight for a future event. We just got a snapshot of a couple of different things, but my intended topic for tonight had been about solar astronomy. And I'm happy to have this discussion offline with people. I just don't want to hold people too late because it is almost 9 o'clock already. But we were provided, and I will give a quick overview of what it was going to be about. I don't think I'm sharing the right thing. So NASA's JPL, they give us a lot of program material that for us to use for our various points and purposes and our outreach events. One of the most recent ones we got was the Our Dynamic Sun package. I have taken that package that was given, and that presentation, which is smaller than the one I have right here, and I added a little bit to it. But you can go to the Night Sky Network, into the tools, and you can find Our Dynamic Sun. It has this. It has all sorts of activities. One of those activities was the one that we went over at the last club meeting. It contains a whole bunch of different things about what we could talk about, you know, think about what we see, what we think about with the sun, and then has a bit of an add-on about where the sun is in its life cycle. But this is all pretty basic information. I was going to dig into that a little bit more, and I will do that at a future time. But if you find yourself interested in any of these topics, please let me know, because we are coming into solar astronomy season. And I say solar astronomy season because most of the events that we're asked to do now are things that start at 7 o'clock, when it's going to be another hour and a half of sun, sunlight before we get into the stellar observing. In fact, a lot of our members will bring solar telescopes. Like George has his sun funnel up front, and I have my hydrogen alpha telescope right here that I was and can go over afterwards and offline. But we bring those to events like Boardwalk Astronomy, because for the first 2 hours, the only thing that we can really look at is the sun. Or listen to the band or the, you know, seagulls. There are some occasions that we will turn our telescopes to look at the offshore wind turbines and ships and such, which is great because it can, gives us an opportunity to talk about telescopes and optics, even if it isn't astronomy. But having the sun as a topic is great for those daytime events. There's a lot of things in here that might jog our discussion. It talks a little bit about safe solar observing. And again, this is just the quick version. I'll give the full version at another time when we have a little bit more time. But we could also talk a little bit about the layers of the sun. We have some posters available, and I will jump to those at the end. We have the Our Dynamic Sun model that has a couple of different images of the sun in various wavelengths. We also have Our Magnetic Sun, which we've had for a lot longer. We have two large size banners that we can take to our outreach events that we can show these off. Banner frame that currently is probably living in the back of Sean's car, that it will show what sorts of things we are looking at, especially because when we have the white light telescopes and the hydrogen alpha telescopes. I don't think there's anyone in the club that has a calcium K filter telescope because for the most part, we are all people of a certain age and our eyes can't see those lines unless you've had corrective vision surgery. So these are some things that we have available that we can point to. And if you're going to a daytime event and you're not bringing George or one of the club officers and you're like, hey, I'd really like to have one of these banner frames to show off, please say something about that and we get that. We have a few other things that I think we should probably talk about more so that people know what's available when we're doing outreach events like the moon rocks, where we have the big map of the moon, great for lunar astronomy events. And we do tend to coordinate those for boardwalk astronomy as well. I do apologize for the speed I'm trying to kick through this, but a few other...
Back 1 minute?
Yes, but give me 2 minutes first. The other thing the three things I wanted to mention in this, and so this is just a snapshot, is the layers of the sun, because what you're seeing when you're looking at, through a solar telescope is, depending on what type of telescope you're looking at, you're seeing a different part of the sun and where those are. A lot of people have some misconceptions about where the chromosphere is versus where the photosphere is. This slide is actually not part of that, but I'll hang it up on the website or have it hung up on the website when we get there. But there's some neat stuff, and I'd almost want to get a copy of that image to bring out there as well. We could talk about, and we frequently show people the different parts of the sun, either in white light or in hydrogen alpha, what the different parts and features that we see prominently, in this case, quite prominently in the form of a prominence or a filament, which are basically the same thing, just in different spots. We might talk about an active region and what that is. And we can talk about the why and how it comes about. Or what is a plage, aka the bright spots on the sun? Spicule, which is a prominence that hasn't really grown up yet, even though it's caused by completely different phenomena. So we could talk about that. And these are all the different, and then the fibrils, which are the dark spots. These are all things that we're going to talk about in the future, and I would talk about in more detail if we had more than 4 minutes, and I'm going to cede the balance of my time to George.
Okay. If you want to make your own sun funnel, you can go online to just Google sun funnel or solar funnel, and it'll give you the directions on how to make one of these. You buy an oil funnel at AutoZone or
Advanced
Auto Parts. I had to order this rear projection material, but you can also get the post clamps at Advanced Auto Parts. Just have to get an eyepiece. And I'm not sure what this is. I think about 17 or 20 millimeter eyepiece, but it'll tell you in the directions how to make it, what type of eyepiece to use, and how short to cut the funnel to make it work. And then it just slides in here, and you can tighten it down. And this, the advantage of this is you can show a multitude of people the sun at the same time, instead of one person at a time looking through the eyepiece. You could have a half a dozen people standing around. I can point out sunspots on the sun.
Yeah. I specifically asked George to bring that for tonight's presentation because it's a great way to show that off. Frequently, it's Saturday, Sunday, we'll have George the sun funnel, a couple different hydrogen alpha telescopes, and a couple of white light where you can go in more detail.
Just beware, if you have a telescope and you point it at the sun, it's going to get really hot. So be very aware of what you're doing. It's actually, for sun funnels,
a little better if you use a refractor because it doesn't have quite so many things that can get hot.
And it also has to be a glass refractor. So those plastic Burt Jones telescopes, not good for that. I think a plastic eyepiece would also melt. So you want to, does the instructions include you need a glass and metal eyepiece for it, otherwise it'll melt?
It specifies, but that's...
should be common sense. But common sense isn't common. So... right. So,
good quality telescope.
Yeah, good quality telescope with the right sort of optics on there.
I just wanted to mention one thing. I think I mentioned here a couple of years. We were having a sun party at the library, and all kinds of people were looking through the telescopes and this and that. There was one fellow about 16 or 17 years old, Stephen Clark. And he was known about, he was the Yankus telescope. And he could see. Well, I looked around about 20 or 30 minutes later, and he was over at the handout table, and where people, our guys, had put optical lenses on the backs of paper to keep blowing away. And he picked up one of them and was looking for the sun. Yeah. And I just,
Yeah, that also the safe solar observing was going to be a topic. And if you have questions or you plan on
your finder scope.
Yeah.
That's to get the person behind you on fire.
Yeah. And blind people. I like to say solar astronomy is one of the only two dangerous things that astronomers do. The other one being going out into a field to do some observing and finding out the farmer hasn't put away the bowl. Yeah.
The kids at St. Patrick's Catholic School, the fifth and sixth graders, I was using eyepiece projection. They sure wanted to know if I could burn stuff.
Of course.
Can you stuff with that? Yeah, that's why I had it projecting down this way. And only I had to hold the book down here rather than out to the side. But I just thought, wait, can you burn stuff with that?
Well, that said, it is already after 9. I hope you all feel a little tiny bit cheated about the timing and that you didn't get to hear me talk more. But I am happy to discuss details on solar astronomy. I'll bring this presentation maybe in the laptop to Saturday, Sunday, so that we can, if anyone's interested in chatting about it, we can talk then, and I'll schedule this for another time unless people catch me afterwards and say, it's actually a huge relief that you didn't talk about that. In which case, I'll just quietly forget about it. That said, just as a wrap up, next meeting is June 4th. We have the July picnic, which has been discussed, and we have a raffle. That said, Gabe, you have the sign-in sheet?
There was not sign-in late.
If you're not in the sign-in sheet, you don't get a chance for the door prize.
You signed in. So, I want to ask everyone. So, there's 23 people here.
Do you have me on there too? Am I counted on that? I am. Okay.
23.
Okay. So, if I'm one of them, then we'll just re-roll. All right. So, I got the random number generator. I'm going to generate number one between 1 and 23. Who's number 10, Gabe?
Irene. Irene, we're gonna have to start exempting you for candidacy. There you go. Congratulations.
I'm kidding. Hopefully it's because of the fun. Hey, if anyone has any other comments, questions, etc., I'm happy to answer them or field them. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. It's always in order. Moved and seconded. All in favor? Thank you very much for coming out to the May meeting of the Back of the Amateur Astronomers.
Telescope.